Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson. I'm your host, and I'm so happy to welcome you to this event where I'm featuring the wisdom of some incredible men who are willing to share their insights to help you have better communication, understanding, and relationships with men. And I have with me here today a wonderful first-time guest, and his name is Jeff Lofton. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Michelle. Great to be here.
So happy to have you here. Jeff Lofton is a relationship architect, men's coach, and a multiple best-selling author. And his main website is called theevolvingman.com. And one of the things that I think is kind of unique about Jeff on the event is that he works mainly with men and helping men to help them live authentic lives of purpose. And so he has a background in working with both men and women, but he works directly with men. And so he shares not only wisdom from his own experience of being a man, but also in working with these men in the work that he does. And I also know that Jeff also has a very long-term marriage, 39 years. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so he has the real life street cred of having a long-term successful relationship. So welcome once again, Jeff. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. And I think the key word you just said is successful, because plenty of people can be married for that long or longer and be miserable. And we still love each other and like each other. So that,
that's
something I'm proud of.
That is definitely a distinction, for sure. I'm grateful to be in a loving marriage that's now 15 years in. And my husband and I laugh and joke sometimes saying, you know, if we still like each other this much at this point, that's probably a good sign, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually.
Exactly. So we're going to be talking today, Jeff, about a topic that I know will be interesting to those that are listening. And we're going to be talking about three essential qualities of a good man. So when we talk about this, just as an introduction, what do you mean, or what is your definition when we talk about a quote unquote good man?
Well, I think there's two levels of it that come to mind. One is a good man is the man that's good for you and to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that might involve. But on another level, to me, a good man is a man who is mature, who knows who he is, isn't afraid to look at or own his shadows, his dark sides, who values integrity highly, and also is really committed to a life of learning and growth.
Mm. Wow. I mean, those are all so, I was jotting these down because those are so important.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you a little bit more about these, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Can we go just a little deeper with a couple of these?
Yeah, you bet.
So first you said mature, and I think when we say mature, we're not just talking about his chronological age, right?
No. I was working with a client earlier today that's a 15-year-old boy, and he has more maturity than a bunch of men I know. So it is not necessarily an age thing, but it's really more about, I mean, all the other qualities I mentioned to me are building blocks of maturity. And I think one of the most important things about what mature is really starts with, does the man know what he wants? And is he also very, very clear about why he's on the planet?
Mm.
Is he a man who knows his purpose and is committed to living it, bringing it all forward from heart, mind, body, and spirit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That that takes some maturity to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. No doubt, no doubt. I mean, it sounds like mission and purpose is a part of that for sure. It also sounds to me like we're also talking about emotional intelligence, you know, because as you also know, there can be people that have a lot of intellectual capacity, intellectual firepower. They don't necessarily, that doesn't always necessarily equate to emotional intelligence, knowing how to work and play well with others or be in a relationship, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's far too many that fit that description. And that's part of why I do what I do with men, is because I love helping men develop more emotional intelligence if they already have a good amount, because I don't think there's ever such thing as too much of that. But also for those who really don't know what that even means, but they struggle with making relationship work, then that becomes another vehicle to be able to help a man learn. Because here's one other thing about what I think separates a good man from a not so good man, is that he's got a highly developed sense of empathy.
So powerful, yeah.
And to do that, you, in my opinion, you have to have gone through some really difficult and hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn how to beat the training that so many men get to keep their emotions under wraps. You got to learn to tap into them. You have to learn how to be able to healthily and consciously let them out and express them, particularly to a woman you might be in a relationship with. And I don't want to leave out, you know, gay or bi people, but you know, for your audience, I presume we're largely talking heterosexual. So in that kind of dynamic, men really need to learn how to get back in connection with this, and then how can they be able to have that not only serve the relationship, but also to really steer or navigate their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I've learned to live my life from what my heart and my spirit are calling for. If I just rely on this, I might still be in the corporate world and probably dead by now. So I think emotional intelligence is crucial, and it also requires that, I mean, you were talking about intellectually, you know, advanced people, but really knowing life and having common sense is another element of emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, so a couple of the other things you mentioned, he knows who he is. I think that's part of the mission and the purpose and why he's on the planet and what he wants and that kind of thing. Another one that caught my attention was he owns his shadows. I'd like for you to say a little more about that one.
Sure. So one comment about he knows who he is that will lead into the shadow question. What I specifically mean by that, and this is a big part of the work we do with the men in our community, is all of us are walking around as, you know, ego identities run amok. So a lot of men that I've worked with over the years, they didn't even really understand the difference between their ego and their ego's identifications and the attachment to that versus intuition, heart, spiritual connection, whatever that means for any given person. So you've got to be able to really distinguish habits and patterns and the way wounds end up playing out in the way that you operate in your life. And there are a lot of men on the planet that don't know that difference. I didn't know that difference until I was 42. And that way, when I learned that I was never the way I looked at myself in my corporate career and, you know, what I thought my vision of a good life was, that wasn't my vision. That was the vision that got encouraged or reinforced or demanded in my family. So I had to break away from a lot of the things that I had thought were me. And before I did that, I looked at whether I'm okay by whether or not people like me, mm-hmm. whether or not people agree with me, whether or not I upset people. Ton of men out there who will avoid conflict at any cost mm-hmm. because they're so uncomfortable with who they are. You get focused on trying to fill a bill that you think a woman has that you're completely making up in your own mind anyway. Mm-hmm. We don't even know that the women are needing this, this, or this unless they tell us. So being comfortable in who you are means that you know what matters most to you. You know what are non-negotiable ways of living and being for yourself and the people that you let into your inner circle and especially your heart. And so the shadow that I'm referring to is we all have a dark side. You know, shadow is a Jungian term that's been around forever and a day. But basically, you know, an example of shadows in men are going to be addiction. It's going to be, you know, judging and taking competitiveness to an unhealthy level. It can be alcohol, drug, you know, overuse of those things. It also can be pride, you know, what used to be called male ego. That's all, you know, there's a lot of shadow that is insecurity and self-doubt. Those are all elements of shadow, whether you're a man or a woman. But with a guy, we really have been conditioned, in my opinion, to look good. So the part of me that will do anything to look good mm-hmm. is itself a part of shadow. Because what I want to do instead, and why no woman should trust me or any other man if he's not doing what I'm talking about, is I need to be me. And you either love me for who I am, including my warts, as long as, you know, they're not toxic or destructive, just like I need to do the same for you if you're a woman. And I've got to be willing to be authentic and radically honest. And if you're not comfortable in your own skin and you're believing that your shadow thoughts and your shadow behavior patterns are who you are, you're screwed. So does that answer your question well?
Yeah. I mean, I think this shadow piece is really important. And I think there's so many people in the world, both men and women, that are going through life more unconscious.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a deeper level of consciousness for people to even be aware of these kinds of things and that they're, you know, that they're in effect, if you will. And you're right. We as human beings will do so much. This is true of both men and women, but maybe with the male ego, maybe it's even a little bit more on that side. Although women have egos too, for sure. I think that for a lot of men, they will go to great lengths to look good and to avoid looking bad. And sometimes we'll kind of run on autopilot. So what we're talking about here is really a deeper level of consciousness. And that's part of, I think, being emotionally mature. I mean, all of these things obviously integrate and go together.
Right.
I also think about shadow, and I don't know if this is the Jungian definition, but when I also think about shadow, I also think about, with all of us, again, as men and women, we have our strengths and we have areas that we might not feel like we're as strong in.
Right.
And we all deeply desire to be loved for our entirety, to have someone be able to see us more or less through the eyes of grace. But I also think we also have to recognize individually about our own strengths, that with every strength, there's also kind of the flip side, right? So we have to kind of be aware of that. So for example, if a woman is wanting a man who's super ambitious, career-driven, goal-oriented, and, you know, really rocking it out there in the professional world, for example, there could be another side of that. The other side of that might be that he is so single-focused that you might sometimes feel like he doesn't have the availability for you in terms of time or attention or focus.
Yep.
So I think that's important for us to be aware of in ourselves. And it's also important to be aware of when we're exploring partnership with someone, to just kind of see that shadow side of our strengths, our weaknesses, those kinds of things as well. So to me, it's just a deeper level of consciousness and awareness about ourselves and about other people and people that we're exploring or are in partnership with as well.
Right. And you make me think too about another part of shadow. Couple other parts of shadow sides, really of both genders in my experience. One is our relationship to anger.
That's a big one, isn't it?
There are a lot of people out there, men and women, who are terrified of their anger, and they look at anger as being bad. But we all have it. It's a human emotion. And one of the ways that men who are really, you know, they're men who have no control over their anger, who are abusers and, you know, just a mess. But at least a lot of the men that seem to come to me and to our organization, they're terrified of anger. They're terrified of their own, and they're terrified of their woman's anger.
Interesting.
And so that then produces a lot of men who we refer to as nice guys, borrowing from Robert Glover's book called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And those are men who put everyone's needs ahead of their own, particularly women that they're with. And in their shadow side of their unconscious, they're hoping or expecting that if I'm the greatest thing since wheat bread and I'm giving you everything you want, you're going to both love me more and you're going to give me fill in the blank. But all that stays in here. It's never communicated openly. And then when we get disappointed, that kind of a man gets disappointed, then they get resentful, they get hurt. And if you don't have much emotional intelligence or acumen, then you've got to do something with all that energy. And one of the first things the ego will do, if I don't want to deal with it, I'm going to make you the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets to be an all too common dynamic in relationships.
Wow, isn't that the truth? I mean, I think you've hit on one of the biggies in relationships here, where both men and women, we have these expectations or these ideas of how things should be or what we think should happen in a relationship. And so often, I think both men and women kind of expect that their partner or potential partner is going to know that somehow magically through osmosis, without us communicating about them or expressing our needs or exploring whether that's possible to for that other person to accommodate or show up in that way. And it's one of the biggies in relationships. And this can happen anywhere along the relationship path.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It can happen early on. It can happen in the middle range of a relationship, or even if you've been in a relationship for a very long time, because even if we're not fully aware of them, we all come into our interactions, relationships with expectations or ideas of how things should go, how this other person should show up.
Right, including how you should treat me. Mm-hmm. And how is the other person supposed to know that? And you know, and that's such a common thing that I deal with in my work with couples, is that very dynamic. Why, you know, woman wants man to treat her a certain way, or give her something, or talk to her in a certain way, but doesn't let him know that. And almost, I gotta say, 95% of the time, when I'm working with a couple and I hear, you know, the woman say, well, he's not communicative. He doesn't give me X. And I'll say, have you told him that? And it's astonishing to me how many women say, no. Well, why not? Well, if I have to ask, then he must not care. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to sneak in another quality of a good man that I didn't think of initially. And that is a man who isn't afraid to say, I need to know what you need. I'd like to know what you want. And not be seen by the woman that he says that to as weak, or, you know, unintelligent, or whatever other label I've heard women tell me that they can put on that. Because the thing a lot of women don't realize, I believe, and this is from anecdotal stories over 25 years, men really want to give you what you want more often than not. Now, if you're trying to change a man, that's not going to fly.
Right. You're going to get resistance or resentment there. Yeah.
Exactly. But just kind of average, normal human neurotic needs and wants and desires. When we love you, we want you to be happy. We want you to be fulfilled. There are plenty of men who don't care about that. I'm not naive, but the men that I work with and that I teach and coach, they want to be good men. And they want to make their woman partner happy, but they don't know how. And we've been brought up to believe that we should know how. Mm-hmm. We should know how to manage our emotions and keep them suppressed. We should know how to be great in bed. We should know how to read women's minds. We should know how to never show weakness or vulnerability. That's conditioning. But it's not reality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there was one thing I could say to the women that are watching this right now, is if you at all are feeling like your man is not really caring enough about you, don't confuse, you know, unfortunate male stoicism, because we don't know how to do it differently if we don't, for not caring. Your guy might have an issue with admitting, I don't know. We don't want to look bad. So that was a little digression, but I think it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is important. It is important. And there's, you know, I love the idea of a man asking what you want or what you need and having the vulnerability to ask that, because I'm sure that would feel vulnerable for a man to more or less admit, I don't know everything. I also like the idea of responsibility on both sides, which for me means a woman being in tune enough to know what she wants and needs. And that's where it starts, because you and I both know sometimes when we ask people, what do you really want? They have a hard time even getting in touch with that. And especially if we've suppressed a lot of our wants or our needs or ignored them or not made them a priority, the first step can be just trying to get in touch with that. It's how can we express to someone else what it is we want or need if we can't even clarify it ourselves? And then having the clarity and confidence to ask in a way that's respectful and a request, not a demand, and giving that person an opportunity to step up. I sometimes describe this, Jeff, this process as with a little basketball analogy. And I'm not a big sports fan, but I do know enough about basketball to kind of know basic positions, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I see this as like, if you imagine the woman and she's going to be represented in this example as the guard dribbling the ball down the court. Oftentimes these guards are very skilled in their ball handling and can be very quick and very graceful in their maneuvers and that sort of thing. And sometimes they'll take those big 3-point shots that, you know, gets the crowd up in an uproar. But more often than not, they'll typically pass the ball in to someone closer to the basket. It might be the guard, it might be the forward, or it might be the center. Mm-hmm. So let's just say in this case, the man is going to be the forward. And so I kind of look at it this way, like when we ask for what we want or need, it's like we're giving the ball to the forward or the center, who can then make the layup shot or the easier shot. And they get credit for the points. So a man gets to feel good because he's provided something for you. But in reality, it was this graceful maneuver. Like you're setting him up to win. You're setting yourself up to get more of your wants and needs met. If we're truly on the same team, we both got the points, we both win. And I just like that analogy for this kind of interaction between a man and a woman. I think it's really powerful. It's like when my husband and I got married, we decided that we were never going to be mad at each other because someone missed a birthday or an anniversary or forgot this or that or didn't get the right gift, because we were going to talk about it. We were going to plan it together. So it can look like, you know what, honey, what I'd really love to do for our anniversary this year would be like go to that wonderful bed and breakfast, blah, blah, blah. Would you set that up for us? Would you make the arrangements? So then he gets the points for setting it up. I get to appreciate him for doing it, and we both get to have a lovely time. So it's like that's the handoff with the basketball, so to speak, if we're using that analogy.
Yeah.
And I think if we think of things that way, more like how can we, you know, work together to provide both people? He gets that good feeling of providing by being appreciated. I get my wants and needs met. If we can think about it that way, it just creates like this beautiful win-win interaction.
Yeah, and I think another element of that came up while I was listening to you is how intimate an act it can be for a man to be able to lovingly look his woman in the eye and say, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. And what happens when both partners in a relationship know that something needs to be addressed or something needs to be communicated, and they don't know how to do that very well? Because communication is really the bedrock of any successful relationship of any kind. So if you don't know how to do that, again, as I mentioned earlier, men are prone to try and fake it. You know, it's not an altogether unfair stereotype that we don't ask for directions. But what an potentially emotionally connecting thing it is to be able to be eye to eye and I have this problem or I have this problem and I don't know how to go at it. I don't know how to fix it or how to approach it. I'd love to hear your ideas. So that, you know, it's really just another cut of what you just said, that we're a team. And one of the things that every relationship sooner or later deals with is hurt feelings or disappointments that don't get communicated anywhere near when they happen. So then feelings get hurt. The ego makes up stories about, you know, good for you and your husband. But a couple that didn't think that far ahead, well, you gave me this for our anniversary, but that doesn't get said, that gets stuffed. So both people are just piling on withhold after withhold after withhold. And that creates the schism that takes a couple from being a partnership and a team to being two different teams playing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And between being honest in real time and taking the risk of the discomfort, but being willing to be vulnerable with what you don't know or what you don't understand can make an enormous difference. And a good man is a man who's willing to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I love these things that you've brought forward and going into this deeper exploration of a good man. And I also want to emphasize that a good man is not a perfect man, right? Because I believe in a healthy relationship, we also have to have compassion for ourselves and compassion for our partners, and to recognize the humanity, and that, you know, together we can help each other, we can love each other in ways that I believe creates, you know, a greater the sum of the whole is greater than its parts when we're together, right, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, you know, we can't demand perfection of ourselves or our partners, because that sets us up for disappointment as well. This is disappointment and frustration. And like you already kind of alluded to, if a man feels like he's constantly disappointing or failing, he's going to check out in one way or another.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and so here's another important kind of arterial off of that point, and another quality of good men. One way that you begin to deal with that, or even proactively prevent some of that from happening that you just described, is you really have to be 100% responsible for you. If you have a man, if you're dating a man, ladies, who after a few dates is making excuses or is talking about any kind of victimish way of thinking about things and reacting to things, that's a man who doesn't know how to take 100% responsibility for his choices and his actions. And you don't want to be with a man who can't do that on a relatively consistent or very consistent basis. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise you're going to get what you just described, Michelle. Secondly, a thing that helps all that happen is a man who knows how to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest complaints all the women I've worked with in my career have had about their men. He's not listening. He isn't present. He's checked out. And that is a very easy default for most men, because here's the other thing. Behind every strong, quote unquote, looking man, strong seeming, there is not a man on this planet who wasn't deeply wounded growing up. And every human carries some degree of not enough. And so this is really speaking to how perfect your comment was a few minutes ago A good man is not a perfect man. Mm-hmm. A good man is honest and willing to look at and find self-compassion for his imperfections and for yours. And that creates all kinds of really great possibility for deeper emotional intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah, and the integrity piece, you know, that's another piece that you hit on earlier. You know, when we're integrity with ourselves, and when we're integrity with others, that alone also creates a foundation for us to be able to be honest about ourselves, honest about our weaknesses, honest about our humanity, honest about us not being perfect. That's part of that integrity piece. And that integrity piece begins, in my opinion, with us being honest about ourselves, which is a whole nother conversation we could have.
Yeah, that could be your next summit.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard for us to be in integrity in relationships if we're not in integrity with ourselves first and foremost. Telling ourselves the truth, even if we don't want to see it, being integrity, it's so key.
Well, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got when I was a young man was one of my teachers said to me, if your life isn't working in any way, however your life is not working for you, the first place to look to turn it around is where are you out of integrity?
So powerful.
Fix your integrity, your life will work. Mm-hmm. It may not always look the way that you want it to look, or it, you know, reality may grow in a different way than we imagine, but so that's a whole nother conversation, but integrity with self. So a lot of the nice guy men that I referred to a little bit earlier, and I'm a recovering nice guy, a lot of them tend to marry angry women. And I mean, let's just assume that, you know, no gender has the monopoly on being a jerk. Humans are shits. And the better ones or the healthier ones are the ones who know that and manage it and take ownership and try to be the best you can be. But I've heard stories of things that women have said to their partners and that are just emasculating and vicious and filled with rage and wanting to hurt the man.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy that puts up with that is really, really not in integrity with himself. Just like a woman who tolerates that same behavior from a man. I don't condone a man being abusive to a woman ever. But if you are getting emotional, verbal abuse, and you don't have a boundary to say, you don't get to do that with me, then that's where being a weak man becomes in play. And I also think that too, there are times where a woman will kind of test if we're gonna tolerate that. Because that's part of how women tend to feel safe. It's like, let me see how much I can get away with. And I'm really not saying this from a sexist place. This is human behavior. And it is, you know, men want to be productive. And women really want to be able to have their heart be fully safe and out there. And we worry, one of men's biggest fears is not producing well. And I, from all the anecdotes I've heard from all the women I've worked with in my career, one of the top concerns for women is being safe.
Sure, sure.
physically safe on the street, safe with their partner, so emotionally and psychically safe. And one of the ways that I would, you know, I'd love to hear comments from the women in your audience. How safe does a woman feel when she is being disrespectful to her man and he just takes it? So I think that's another point I want to offer to people watching, men or women, is respecting yourself, being comfortable in your own skin, means that you don't let even the person you love the most treat you disrespectfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is, oh, I mean, we could definitely have a whole conversation around this. This is so key, this respect piece, which is part of feeling safe for both men and women. Men don't typically feel maybe as vulnerable in terms of the physical side, but in talking to so many men over the years, there's still a great need for that emotional safety with men. That's the key piece. And I love what you said there. You have to respect yourself enough that you don't allow even the person that you love the most to treat you with disrespect, whether you're a man or you're a woman.
Correct.
And we have to find channels for dealing with our emotions and our feelings that do not disrespect the person that we're with if we want to have a healthy relationship for both men and women. And this is a whole big conversation, but I'm really glad you brought that up here because it's so key. And, you know, I had a friend years ago, back when I was single, very high achieving person. And one of the things that I noticed about her was how she was so able to manage boundaries and standards. And one thing she would often say, she would say, "It's about respect for me, Michelle. It's about respect." And what she meant by that was she was very respectful in her interactions with other people, but she did not tolerate anything that was disrespectful in regards to others' interactions with her.
Right.
And if you take that kind of responsibility where, like you said, we don't even allow the people we love the most to treat us in ways that are disrespectful, that in and of itself could transform a lot of relationships, that one piece, right?
Oh, yeah, because a client of mine reminded me of my own coaching once years ago, that if the respect dies, the relationship is a dead one walking.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that no relationship can survive.
Yeah.
Is loss of respect. Self-respect, yeah, and respect for each other.
Yeah, and I know for women, if a woman loses respect for her man, the love goes out the window too. It's just a matter of time.
Absolutely.
I mean, we really, every woman I've talked to, when we've talked about this, they have to respect that man that they're with, or else the loving feelings die as well. So this is a whole key piece as well. We've talked about so many things that I feel like are such nuggets, Jeff. And I actually want to interview you again, because I think we have some other things that I'd love to explore with you. But I'm so grateful for your contribution here today. And I think this respect piece is a great place to kind of wrap on.
Yep.
I do want to give you, though, an opportunity, first of all, to tell us a little bit about your gift. And for everyone watching, that'll be on the link right below this video or audio. And also, I want to also give you an opportunity if you want to just leave us with a last word.
Sure. Thank you. So the gift that I'm giving to anybody who wants to claim it that's watching is a new video that I put together called Pathways to a Man's Heart. And, you know, there's all these stereotypes, you know, old school, like the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I'm not going to totally deny that, but there are bigger freeways to my heart than just food.
Yeah, so it takes a little more than cookies, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of the ways to reach our hearts would surprise a lot of women. And so I put this video together that offers my perspective and some suggestions I have about ways to explore that. So that is going to be available to everybody. And then I'll also mention that when you were talking about how you deal with conflict and be respectful in working issues out, one of my books is called Building a Conflict-Proof Relationship. And it's a nice little itty-bitty 70-page book. It's essentially a recipes for how do you deal with this kind of conflict? What can you try with that kind? So that is also something outside of this that people might find useful.
Thank you, Jeff. Is that available like on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yep. Great. Yeah, so be sure to get Jeff's video. I know that it'll be a really good resource for you. So just click on the link below. Did you have anything else you wanted to share to just kind of wrap up as a final thought?
Yeah. Thank you for that opportunity. The thing that I want to say is every human being wants love, wants to give it, and wants to receive it. And a lot of us, I think really both genders, but men, we're pretty hardwired to give and produce and make things happen and fix things. And I just would invite every woman watching and any men watching this who have been listening to me and going, what the hell is he talking about? Just remember that we may look like we don't need that much, that we can do without it. We're lying. There you go.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. And I really appreciate the conversation. It's been a lot of fun to connect with you. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Michelle.
And for everybody watching, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate your commitment and dedication to have extraordinary life and extraordinary love. And we hope to see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.